In this message that kicks off our series, The Jesus Challenge, we're going to be talking about how we can love God, specifically how we can love God through the act of worship. Now, if you're not a Christian or maybe just kind of figuring out this whole Jesus thing, worship might be a whole new idea for you. Maybe you don't actually worship in your life. That's a-okay. What I want you to do is listen to this message because in it, our senior pastor, McGray DeVega, is going to lay out what worship looks like and give an example of two people in our church who have really embodied worship. And maybe if this connects with you, there's going to be an opportunity at the end of the message to also consider how you might want to get involved in worship in our church. And if you've been attending a long time and are just keeping up with us, this will also be a great message for you to celebrate some people in our church and see how you might make a deeper connection to your church community. Check it out.
Today we begin a new three-part worship series called The Jesus Challenge, 21 Days of Loving God and Neighbor, based on a book written a few years ago by our own Reverend Justin LaRosa. The book is available for purchase through the church, and we invite you to pick it up and follow along in its themes and daily exercises over the next 3 weeks. And our journey begins today with the most important commandment given often throughout the Bible, love God. Let's pray. Oh God, open our eyes to empathy, curiosity, and humility, that we might be generous and compassionate toward others and ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. A study a few years ago by a British clothing company found that on average, we spend 15 minutes a day trying to figure out what to wear. Men, a few minutes less, women, a few minutes more, but everyone goes through the daily ritual of trying to figure out what to put on. About one in four adults admitted to getting so frustrated by choosing what to wear that they've thrown their clothes. And 15% admitted that sometimes they become so frustrated that it ruined their mood for the entire day. Yet despite buying more clothes and expanding our wardrobes to alleviate those frustrations, we only choose to wear 44% of our wardrobe. Choosing how to clothe ourselves can be hard. In the opening words of today's scripture reading, Paul tries to simplify things for us. He says, above all, clothe yourselves with love. In fact, in this third chapter of Colossians, he uses the phrase, clothe yourselves, or put on, three times in just four verses, making this chapter the Project Runway of the New Testament. He says to us, as you're trying to decide what to wear today, don't forget the most important outfit of all. Put on love. In verse 10, he says to clothe ourselves with the new self, a term describing the conscious choice to turn away from sinful, unhealthy, and harmful living. In verse 12, he says to, quote, clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Those are five very important qualities to put on every day. In fact, what would it be like to write those five words down and post them in your closet so that when you're staring at your shirts and pants, your blouses and skirts, your socks and shoes, you remember that the most important ensemble to wear every day is the one in Colossians 3:12. Compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. And it's all summarized right here in verse 14. Above all, clothe yourselves with love. But then Paul makes an interesting shift in his message. It's as if he needs to offer a disclaimer, a counterpoint, so that we don't take what he's saying the wrong way. Because when taken too far, the metaphor of clothing ourselves might suggest that the spiritual life is all about what's on the outside, about external appearances, about behaviors. I mean, to be sure, behavior is an important first step. But to truly love God, our acts of compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience need to affect our motivations, who we are deep down inside, in places where no one else can see. So in verse 16, Paul says, quote, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Because at the end of the day, it's not just about putting on Christ to start the day. It's about allowing Christ to dwell in your mind and your heart, your thoughts and your feelings, your motivations. And in case you're wondering what Paul recommended as the best way to let Jesus shape our innermost thoughts and feelings, he made it very clear in verse 16. Be in community in the church. Connect with other Christians. He said, quote, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God." In other words, you cannot grow spiritually by yourself, because it's in the context of Christian community that we can learn together, pray together, serve together, and even learn from one another. The most significant spiritual influences in my life are people that modeled the very wardrobe of Jesus in verse 12, and each of them has been a member of a church that I've been a part of. And when I think of people in this church who model the wardrobe of compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience for us, I think of the honorary members of our charge conference. This is a list of specific persons in this church that we've recognized as best exemplifying the mission and core values of Hyde Park United Methodist. We elect new persons to add to this list every fall at our church conference. And this past year, we approved two more names, which I'd like to share with you now. Two people who model the wardrobe of compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Jack and Linda Brown. Linda and Jack are no strangers to so many of us here at the church. They are among our most faithful and consistent volunteers, serving in leadership committees and children's ministry and Sunday school and small groups and hospitality for so many gatherings that we host on the Hyde Park and Portico campuses. There's hardly an event that we have here where we don't see Linda and Jack and their smiling, warm, and generous spirit welcoming people into this place. And today, we are honoring them as our newly elected honorary members of the Charge Conference. So it is with great celebration that I read for you the dedication that's on this plaque. With gratitude for their faithful service to God, Jack and Linda Brown are elected as honorary members of the Charge Conference, Hyde Park United Methodist Church, elected by the Church Conference on October 6th, 2022. I want to hand these to you and then see if you all want to say any words of gratitude.
Well, thank you so much, McGray. It has been a long journey that we've been here since 2004. We came, kind of military brought us here, and we, as most people in the congregation, looked around for a lot of churches, and when we got to Hyde Park, we kind of stopped looking. We found our home, and immediately were thrilled to be invited to usher and attend the chapel service and get involved with the Wednesday night dinners. A lot of these things have changed and we've not had them, but we've been able to find other places to serve. Right now we're thrilled to be a part of the Primetimers, the senior adults. We're now retired, so we can be senior adults. But Jack loves working with the children, so when Vacation Bible School comes along, he's the one who wants to be there and see those precious faces in the audience. So we've enjoyed doing that. We've just loved growing and ministering at the church, doing the things that we've enjoyed, and hopefully to make God's love real. We have, this is our home. This is our social circle. This is exactly where we want to be.
We give thanks to God for both of you. Thank you for the way you embody the mission of this church. And as you see them around campus, please extend a warm congratulations to them as well. God bless you both and thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For clothing themselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, and for showing us how to love God, will you join me in thanking Linda and Jack Brown? You can even type "Thank you, Jack and Linda" in the chat section. Well, in addition to learning from each other how to love God, there is one other way that Paul tells us that we can love God together. He tells us that, quote, with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. Your presence in worship matters. Whether you're joining us in person or online, your connection to a wider community of people focusing our hearts and our voices in worship can shape your life for the better. There's no other experience in any given week that can match the power of worshiping God together through praying, preaching, giving, and of course, through singing. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. Last week, I had both my daughters in town as we made final preparations for them to start their new school years. One night, the girls asked me to join them on a game they kind of made up called Blind Karaoke. Apparently, it's a thing on social media. Unlike regular karaoke, where you sing words that are on a screen, in blind karaoke, you sing with your back to the screen and sing all the words from memory. Now, the catch is that these are songs that you are supposed to know well because you claim them to be among your favorite songs. Now, this started with Spotify users who challenged each other to sing blind karaoke to the songs that were their most listened to songs over the past year. Supposedly, you've listened to these songs so much over and over again that you should know all the lyrics perfectly by heart, right? Well, needless to say, I failed miserably. From the latest Christian hits to the songs of my youth from the 70s and 80s, I found myself doing more humming than actual singing. The girls did much better, mostly due to Taylor Swift. But they screwed up enough times to send the three of us into delirious laughter. The only song I got right, by the way, 100%, a Disney song. It was one the girls and I used to sing in the car over and over again when they were little from the film Mulan. It's titled "Make a Man Out of You." And last week when I sang the line, "Did you give me daughters when I asked for sons?" the girls yelled at me, "So that's a line you remember?" What I learned from blind karaoke is this spiritual principle. When it comes to singing, as with all aspects of worship, we can't do it blindly, and we can't do it alone. We need to be in the company of others to sing and pray and worship together, and to allow the word of Christ to dwell in us richly. It matters when we come together to sing, and it matters when we gather in worship together. Worship is part of your spiritual wardrobe. It is something you are to put on week after week. Because at its core, worship is the work of the people of God. The root word for liturgy means work, and it's our number one job as God's people to do the work of worship. And around here, we are grateful for all the people who help us to do the work of worship week after week. Today, we want to close out this sermon and begin our new worship series with a special acknowledgement and prayer of blessing on the many people who help make worship possible each and every Sunday. This will help us remember that worship doesn't just happen because of the people up front, most visible to you. You'd be surprised at the number of people that work behind the scenes so faithfully. So for our closing prayer, I invite us into this special recognition and blessing of all our worship volunteers. John Wesley believed that worship draws us into the presence of God, which enables us to love God in thought, heart, and action. And today we give thanks for all those who make worship happen every week, from the time people are welcomed on campus or online, and through the entire worship service. It's a sizable number of volunteers, encompassing a list of groups that we might otherwise overlook. So as I read these names, I invite you to offer a private prayer of gratitude for these persons. Vocal and instrumental musicians, both contemporary and traditional. The audio and visual production team. Campus hospitality, greeters and ushers. The altar guild, who cares for our sacred objects and linens and candles. Our communion preparers and those who have served communion. Those who prepare our worship spaces, including our pews, our chairs, and our prayer bearers. Our online worship volunteers. Those of you who have hosted, read prayers and scriptures. Our worship volunteers at the 10:01 gathering at the portico. And those who have brought communion to our homebound residents. So as an act of gratitude for these persons, will you type into the chat section, "Praise God." Let's pray. Gracious God, you have called us to do the work of worship. You've inspired people among us to serve out of their giftedness, to lead us in song, prayer, sacred act, and hospitality. Thank you for these persons. Bless their work, that we might glorify you and strengthen our faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
Be a man, you must be swift as a coursing river.
Oh, hey, okay, thanks so much for joining us for worship today. Maybe you want to do some Turning Your Back Blind karaoke. I don't know, I love it. I think that's a great song. That's definitely one of my top Disney songs. Anyways, what were we talking about? Right, so if this message struck you in a particular way or you want to get connected with us through our worship ministries, go to the Next Steps page, which you can find in the comments down below. Find out more about our church, find out more about how you can get connected in worship. Look, I so enjoy getting to connect with you in this online space and having you join us each and every week. Thanks so much. I'll see you next time.